This is To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. To Your Health keeps you informed on all the health issues facing our country. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.
Welcome to Your Health. I'm Roger Galloway, and our Mojave County Health Director, Chad Kingsley, is not with us today. Instead, it will be Sarah Hancock. She's the program coordinator for the HAPPY program. We'll find out all about what that's about, and we want you to know what this is going to be about for the next half hour. Sweltering heat. It's blanketing much of the country right now, much of the planet, as a matter of fact. The past week, by the way, has been the hottest week on record, the latest milestone in a series of climate change-driven extremes that have been occurring on the Earth. The Earth's average temperature of this last week was an unofficial record, a record high that was set for the seven-day period ending on this past Wednesday. The daily average temperature was 0.08 degrees Fahrenheit, which may not sound like a lot, by the way, higher than any week in 44 years of record keeping. That's the data from the University of Maine's Climate Change, the tool that uses satellite data and computer simulations to measure the world's condition. So there we are. And we are in one of the hottest places in the United States, Mojave County. And do you know offhand, Sarah, roughly, is Lake Havasu City, is it the hottest of our three cities in the area?
You know, I've only ever heard anecdotally, but I've always heard residents from Bullhead City as well as Havasu say that it's about 10 degrees hotter there than Kingman at any given time.
Supposedly, Phoenix, the Phoenix area, in the first and second week of July, broke their records, reaching up to 120 degrees. So that's extraordinary. That's just like unimaginable. We have reached even higher than that in Lake Havasu since the 19 years that I've been living in Lake Havasu City. I know that's occurred there. You got to go back and imagine, how did soldiers in forts in Arizona who were wearing wool clothing even live? No air conditioning, outside.
Imagine.
Horrible, huh?
That would be the worst.
Just the worst. So we're very fortunate human beings with this wonderful thing called air conditioning, which at least in our vehicles and inside enables us to be able to live in this area and not simply keel over.
Right.
So with your program, what does HAPPY stand for?
Yeah, so HAPPY stands for the Health in Arizona Policy Initiative Program.
All right.
So it's a mouthful.
Yes.
Mostly what we do in a nutshell is we talk about and try to prevent the four leading causes of chronic disease deaths in Arizona. So we focus our education efforts around those four causes as well as our policy changes and things of that nature.
What are those four?
So cancer, obviously, is a big one that mm-hmm. most folks have heard about or unfortunately had a relative stricken by. There's also heart disease, which encompasses a couple different illnesses. Chronic lower respiratory disease here in Arizona is one of the big four. And then also Alzheimer's disease, unfortunately, makes that top four list, too. So for the HAPPY program, we try to look at those four and look at ways that our education or our other efforts might support helping folks avoid those.
With that program, mm-hmm. how does that encompass in any way what we are talking about today?
Yeah, so skin cancer is the most prevalent cancer in mm-hmm. the United States, especially here in Arizona. It's very hot. It's very yeah. sunny. We have high rates of skin cancer. Unfortunately, Arizona has a 40% higher rates of melanoma than other places in the United States or United States as an average. So it's definitely something that we're on the lookout for here. Some of the activities that our program does in relation to skin cancer, we go to the early childhood centers here throughout the county, and we teach kids about sun safety, how to protect themselves, and hopefully avoid those diseases in their future.
These heat problems that mm-hmm. we have in this area, which have existed forever, everyone knows that lives in the area, kind of beware. And if there's any way you can afford it to get out of the area, certainly in July, August, even the first part of September, it's so hot and so difficult. Mm-hmm. And the question is, many people cannot. Many people have to stay here. there are some that even, the homeless people, that even have to stay outside.
Right.
And you wonder, how do they even survive? What kinds of things are recommended to do, and what can we do to help those people in need during this time of the year?
Well, for our homeless population, I know that in the hottest parts of the summer, in several locations throughout the county, they open emergency cooling stations. So those are places where unhoused individuals can go and access some cooler air, get hydrated, get some shade, stay out of the sun. But you're right, it's a challenge. They don't have access to some of the other preventative measures that some of us other folks can enjoy. When we talk about prevention measures, there's actually a lot of things that we can do to protect ourselves from the sun. Obviously, one that we've all probably heard about is sunscreen. The recommendation is to wear sunscreen every single day with an SPF of 30 or higher. We're looking for a broad spectrum sunscreen, which means that it protects us from ultraviolet rays in both the A and B categories. And we want to, if we're outside, actively outside, be reapplying that at least every 2 hours.
Do you think there's a high enough percentage of people that even pay attention to doing that?
You know, I think it's with a lot of things, there's recommendations that we know we should be doing, and then what we actually do maybe doesn't match up 100%. We've heard folks say before they have concerns that maybe sunscreen doesn't feel nice to them, it makes them break out, they don't, you know, they don't remember it. There are workarounds for those concerns. You know, they make special sunscreens that don't clog your pores, that are made for your face. You can try mineral versus other sunscreens. So you can kind of play around with the formula that you like best. But if there's any that you can find that it's not a chore to put on and you can stick to that regimen, it is a huge benefit.
Where's the best place to buy those? Like a Walgreens
anywhere
or a
you can,
CVS?
Honestly,
or
Walmart, anywhere around. Dollar stores even have them. So anywhere that you find it at a reasonable price that you can grab it and have a couple on hand, keep one in your house maybe, keep a small one in your purse. Or, you know, however makes it convenient to you. The more convenient it is, the more likely it is that folks will do it.
Obviously, remaining hydrated is critically important.
Mm-hmm.
How much water, minimum, during the summer, if we're outside, should we drink?
You know, the hydration one is a huge one. I've actually heard people say that if you feel thirsty, you're already behind the ball of hydration. So, honestly, as much as you can, we try to teach little ones that if they can take a couple big gulps of water every 10 to 15 minutes or so, just to constantly, while you're outside, be replenishing that. For folks that are outside a lot, that are sweating a lot and maybe losing a lot of salt through, you know, exertion or playing outside or being outside, folks can consider drinking like a sports drink, you know, Gatorade, Powerade, something like that can replenish those electrolytes and that salt that you're losing. But, you know, that and water in combination, trying to stay, honestly, as hydrated as humanly possible. Every time you think about it, take a drink.
When you say that, take a drink, what about things like, I don't know, Diet Coke or regular Dr. Pepper or something like that? Does that help? Is it almost as good as water or no?
I would say no. For some of our sodas and whatnot, you know, you got all the added sugar and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Water would be the best choice, kind of the king of the choices. And then, you know, maybe drink a glass of water. And then if you want something else, then go for a Powerade or Gatorade. You just don't enjoy any of those and you only want to drink soda, maybe alternate soda and water if you feel like you used to.
Do you happen to know, let's say that you're out in the morning, the temperature is 80 degrees in our area. That's not impossible at all at 6 o'clock in the morning or something. And you don't have access to water. How long can you go without it?
Well, it's going to be different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a child or an elderly person might not make it as long as maybe a healthy adult. But heat stroke and heat cramps can creep up on you very, very quickly.
How quickly?
I mean, within an hour. If you're doing something strenuous, like you're outside playing soccer or something like that, and you start to notice cramps in your abdomen or in your legs, that is the first sign that something is wrong. It's cascading effects of heat illness, from heat cramps all the way up to heat stroke.
So you're in real trouble if you're on a four-wheeler out in the desert and for some reason it stops running, you run out of gas, it overturns, whatever, you're but you're now, you may even have a cell phone, but you're nowhere close to getting water.
Yeah, you need to consider that an emergency situation. Yeah. I mean, it's good emergency preparedness anyway to keep water in your vehicle, you know, as many places as you can.
Yeah.
You know, just plan on never, ever leaving the house without at least some water. Throw a gallon in the back of your truck or in the back of your car just in case. I mean, it's going to be hot and maybe not as delicious.
You could have a flat tire or something, and now you're trapped up there.
You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. If you're up on the hill in Bullhead and your car dies in the middle of the summer, that is going to be brutal if you're waiting an hour or more for someone to come and help you and you're on, you know, the blacktop and next to your overheated car. That's going to be a bad situation pretty quickly.
Do you think we have enough resources in our county to handle emergencies like this on a decent size scale?
You know, I hope so. Even one person that is in an emergency situation where they're unable to get help is too many people, in my opinion. But I think that we're definitely on the right trajectory. When I was a kid, I don't remember seeing those emergency cooling stations as something that was available to people. So that's come about in my adult life, and I think that we're taking steps into the right direction.
Do you know if there's any kind of a policy? Again, this is out of your direct line of work, but in the various cities, as well as the county and the unincorporated areas, to checking in on the elderly and the people that are not inside but are outside, but like homeless people that don't have the access that most of us have?
You know, not that I know of within our department. I would hope that some support agencies maybe that interact with the homeless population might be able to check on them, tell them about resources for the cooling stations or other things. But I don't know that it might be a gap in services.
Well, what do you think might be good advice to give to people out there that, and this is more like being a good Samaritan, being a good human being, but who know of elderly people who, let's say, live alone and they don't have any relatives near them, and we have heard their air conditioning has gone out and they're trapped inside.
Right.
Can we say, hey, try to at least check in on them or something of that nature? That's about the only thing, right?
I would hope so, or maybe, you know, make your cell phone number available to vulnerable neighbors that you're concerned about. So in an emergency, like if their coolers did go out or something like that, at least they have someone that they can call and reach out to, even if they are, you know, homebound and can't get out. We need as many lifelines as possible.
Do you know if any of the fire departments still have a program that they had many years ago in Lake Havasu City? I know because my mother was part of it. And the fire department, somebody in the fire department would call her and other elderly people every morning just to say hello, to see that they were all right. And they did it every single day, 7 days a week. And all they would do, the conversations would only be, hello, how are you? This is Ted from the fire department.
Right.
Just checking in on you. I'm fine. I'm, you know, thank you very much. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And that went on for, I know, a number of years, but I haven't heard of it in recent years.
I've never heard of it. The only one that I've heard of, you know, isn't necessarily along that line, but Meals on Wheels does make contact with elderly and homebound folks on a regular basis. That's the only one that I know of. I'm not sure if the fire department does anything like that.
Yeah, it's it might be too difficult these days. Back in those days when she was living in Lake Havasu, the population was like 17,000 people.
Right.
So it's much, much larger now.
Yeah.
It would be much harder to do that. Do you know, are there any programs that the health department or the fire departments have for the homeless that are outside in these summer months? Do they try to help them in any way or to check in on them or no?
Well, for public health, the only one that I know of really that targets that population is, emergency preparedness. They're the ones that help orchestrate those cooling sites that we've talked about in the summer. I'm not sure any of the other programs necessarily have that as a focus. I know some of the community services folks have programs that help outreach for homeless people, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily along that.
There are no easy solutions with what we're talking about here.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, you can go beyond the elderly and the homeless people, and you can say, well, what about the animals that are out there in the horrible heat?
Right.
And, you know, now they're trapped. They have no access to water. They don't have anyone taking care of them. They're trapped.
Kids that want to be outside because it's the summer and they want to go out and have fun while the sun shines, and it's hard to try and communicate to kids, especially that, it's better to stay inside, you know, from the hottest parts of the day from 10 to 4. So that's prime playtime if you're a kid. So it can be challenging depending on the different groups that you're trying to give this information.
Well, if we could go back to some of the things that are in the, you know, the little flyer that I have here. To me, it's pretty standard. In other words, it's kind of things you should immediately know about,
right.
You know.
Yep.
It mentions in the heat, that the kind of heat we're having right now, to wear a wide-brimmed hat.
Mm-hmm.
To keep your scalp, nose, ears, neck, and face protected.
Right.
Again, that's one of those things, some people aren't going to wear them no matter what.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
There's no way around that, but that's advice that we give them regardless to do, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that is mentioned here, check your local ultraviolet index. How?
If you have internet accessibility, that is something that you can check on the internet. Also, if you have a mobile phone, a lot of times in your weather app, you can actually check that index right on your weather app and see if it's high. Generally, it's going to be the highest between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Those are kind of the hottest parts of the day. Cooler temperatures usually, not always here, but are expected before 10 a.m. and then after 4 p.m.
That's the best way to do it then.
Right.
And it says that the scale ranges from 1 to 11 plus. Higher the number, the more careful you should be.
Right.
So when you find out what this index is and you've got a 9,
right.
That's a little worrisome.
It is. Yeah, try to limit your time outside as much as possible during those times of the day. If you have to be outside, try to make it as short as possible. Take frequent rests. Stay in the shade if you can, if it's, you know, available to you. Like we talked about, wear a hat, wear sunglasses, wear sunscreen. Wear chapstick with sunscreen in it. That's one that people forget a lot. You know, all those prevention measures. If you can, it seems counterintuitive to wear longer sleeved clothes.
Yeah, it does.
In the summer, I've always heard people say, well, that just seems ridiculous.
And it also says it should be darker clothes. That even also seems
like right,
wear,
yeah,
like black like, and brown.
Seems like the opposite,
and,
right?
Yeah.
But if you can protect your skin from getting a sunburn by covering it, then that's the best case scenario. If you do have exposed skin, though, then that SPF with 30 or above would be the recommendation.
I'm much older than you are, and I remember growing up as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and then not only being a kid, but being a young man,
right.
and being around young women, and going to the beaches a lot,
sure,
and
yep.
all of that, we all wanted to get a tan.
Yes.
And,
yep.
you know, that was the thing to do.
No.
You wanted to do it. We're kind of away from that now, aren't we? I mean, it's not nearly as prevalent as it used to be.
I think that information about, like, self-tanning beds, especially, and tanning in general, has been around for long enough that you hope that people second guess it. They suspect now that sunburns that you get when you're a child, so earlier in your life,
mm-hmm.
actually have more to do with your skin cancer risk as an adult than sunburns that you may get as an adult. I know the temptation is there for sure, but if you can avoid that impulse to get a tan, then you're really doing your future self.
Yeah, it's really tough. Like in Lake Havasu City, you want to get out on those boats.
Mm-hmm,
the beautiful
definitely.
Lake that we have there,
yeah.
people love it. And let's face it, especially women in the skimpy outfits that they wear and everything, they're not covered up for
right,
much at all.
Right.
And they don't want to be covered up.
Right.
That's the other, and they're young, immortal
right,
in
yeah.
many ways. Right?
Sunscreen, 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 you tell those folks.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on the water. Even if your sunscreen says that it's waterproof, there's really no such thing.
Yeah.
It's really more water resistant. So if you're sweating heavily or you are swimming, bump that 2-hour reapplication window down to an hour. Reapply it every hour if you can.
Every hour.
Yep.
Wonderful advice. And
yes.
again, we
if
all we can,
can
do is tell people.
We'll take what we can get, but hopefully every hour.
It mentions also, of course, wearing sunglasses to reduce
mm-hmm.
your risk of eye damage.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of eye damage can you have, do you believe, that could be?
Right, so bright sunlight can actually damage your retinas. I've heard that folks with lighter colored eyes, so blue or green eyes, are more at risk
mm-hmm.
for sun damage to their eyes, unfortunately. So sunglasses are important, especially if you're around like a reflective surface, so you're at the lake or something like that,
mm-hmm.
where the rays are kind of bouncing off and into your face, then sunglasses are a must. And if you can rock the style where they wrap around and completely kind of go around your eyes, even better. But sunglasses are a strong recommendation for sure.
One of the things that again, the health department itself
mm-hmm.
wouldn't have anything directly to do with this is, again, back to animals,
mm-hmm.
is our vehicles.
Oh,
once you turn off the vehicle, it starts to get unbelievably hot in them very quickly.
Yeah.
And people that I'm going to rush into the drugstore, I'll be there 5 minutes max, at 5 turns into 15.
Yeah.
And the dog can die, or, you know, wow. could, that, I mean, that quickly.
Even worse, you hear horror stories and, of people that leave their kids in the backseat.
Absolutely. Forget that they had their kids with them.
There's public service campaigns for double checking, you know, like just before you get out of your vehicle, as silly as it sounds, double check that you don't have a pet or a child in the back.
It's with a lot of people, it's
life.
Easy to forget.
Life gets crazy, life gets hectic. Yeah. You're thinking your own thoughts, and you don't want to leave any living creature in your vehicle in the summer for any length of time.
We had a situation in Los Angeles when I was press deputy out there with the Los Angeles City Council for a number of years, and we had a situation where there was a police officer, canine unit, you know. Had been a canine officer for something like 10 years, left the dog in the car, completely, totally forgot that the dog was with him.
Oh my goodness.
Went into his house on a Saturday early afternoon and totally forgot the dog. And then it was like that night when he was in bed, he woke up and, oh my God, he went down and the poor dog was dead. So it's like the mindset is it's not like you forget for the moment. You just
forget.
Yeah. Mm. It's a terrible thing. There's no,
yeah.
You know, there's not much we can do to solve that or resolve that, you know, except people just trying to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Back here again, looking at, it says one of the things on the flyer here, which is a very good one, by the way. Again, I think what it says is pretty logical. But limit the time you spend outside between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Right.
Those are the critical hours of heat?
Yes, it's when that index that we were talking about is the strongest. So usually that's when the temperatures are the highest. So, you know, if you can limit any you know, activities that you're doing outdoors at that time, if possible, obviously it's not going to be possible for some folks, but that's kind of the danger zone, if you will, of the day during the summer.
By the way, I don't know, and our audience doesn't know. Are you a mother yourself?
I am, yep. I have two young children.
All right. Regarding children, especially little children, and being outside and playing in a waiting pool, let's say a waiting pool, and we won't get into that other obvious topic about a real pool, the dangers there, but just a waiting pool. Mm-hmm. How long should they be outside in days like we're experiencing right now in July?
Right. So it kind of varies based on, you know, the situation. If, for example, you have your kiddie pool on the side of your house, it's fully in the shade, you know, you're mm-hmm. staying well hydrated, you've got hats on, you've got sunscreen on, then you're mm-hmm. going to be able to be out longer than if you have it in the back. It's fully exposed to the sun. It's during the hottest part of the day. Maybe your drinks are inside, you're not wearing sunscreen. Obviously, those are two very different scenarios, you know. Mm-hmm. But you want to be on the lookout for any signs all the time that young ones, especially or elderly, are getting, you know, symptoms of heat-related illnesses. So heat cramps, you know, if they start to complain of cramps in their legs,
mm-hmm.
if they have a flush, you know, their skin's turning red or something like that, you've noticed that they're sweating a lot or, goodness forbid, they stop sweating at all, that would be, you know, definitely a very extreme sign of heat-related illness. If they start complaining of nausea or of dizziness or of confusion or of a headache or any of those things, those are all warning signs of heat-related illness happening. So hopefully in an ideal world, you would come inside before any of those symptoms set in.
Is it possible with what we're just talking about just now, with an adult, let's say, just an adult, one of us who's out there, can we sometimes not realize that we're becoming dehydrated?
Oh, of course. It happens all the time.
Is there any kind of a sign, that the first sign that comes along, you say, hey, this is an indication?
Well, I mean, like we talked about in the very beginning, some folks say that if you feel thirsty, you're already behind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dehydrated, if your body produces sweat to cool you through evaporation.
Right.
But unfortunately, through that process, you also start to lose salt. So over time of sweating a lot, your body chemistry kind of gets out of whack, and it starts this cascading effect of bad symptoms of, you know, heat-related illness. So if you catch it early in that cascade, then you'll probably be all right if you go inside and rest and drink a sports drink, take a cold shower. But if you let that progress all the way to full-on heat stroke, that's a medical emergency. That's a 911 type emergency. It can happen to anybody. I mean, my husband was out back just this last weekend. He was working on a shed. He was out there for maybe an hour or two, he was in the shade, he was well hydrated, he was drinking water and Gatorade, doing everything right, and he still got symptoms of heat illness. He still was nauseated, started to get lightheaded, started to get a headache. So, you know, even if you're doing everything right, you just really need to stay in tune with your body. And if you start to sense that you're starting to feel weird or you're starting to feel like something is amiss, recognize that as a sign. Whatever you're doing outside can wait. It's time to come inside, rest, take a break, take a cold shower, get rehydrated. Don't try to push yourself through it, because if you push yourself through all those stages and you get all the way to heat stroke, that is going to be possibly fatal.
We talked about the drinking certain liquids, especially water, that's very helpful. Are there any kinds of foods that are recommended in the heat of the summer that are maybe better for you getting through each day than other kinds of foods?
Well, I'm not sure specifically in summer. I mean, some foods definitely have a higher hydration component. You know, first one that springs to mind is watermelon. It's a summer favorite for a reason. You know, it's obviously more hydrating than some of the other fruits and vegetables, but I don't know that eating watermelon is necessarily going to be a protective factor, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The overall, with what we've been talking about here, if you came to a bottom line, we're almost at the end of our program this morning. I'm glad, by the way, I do want to say I'm very happy that you stepped in for Dr. Chad Kingsley, and it's really nice to talk to you. We're talking again for those who might have tuned in a little bit late to Sarah Hancock, who is the program coordinator for the HAPPY program. And just overall, are there two or three things that you can point out that might be especially good for people to keep in mind during these hot months?
I think that, you know, most of us have heard at least once in our life the right things to do to be sun safe. Some of them over time maybe seem like an inconvenience, but if you can do those recommendations to the best of your ability, wear sunscreen, stay hydrated, wear protective clothing, wear your sunglasses, wear your hat, your future self will thank you. As much as we can do in the heat of the summer to protect ourselves and our loved ones from heat-related illness or skin cancer later on, it really does pay off in the long run.
One final thing. In our three cities, Bullhead City and Lake Havasu City and in Kingman, and in our in those same areas nearby, we have county facilities as well. Is there anything people can turn to go and cool off or get a drink of water if they're in a trapped kind of situation?
Definitely be on the lookout for those emergency cooling stations. I think that their locations get put out on a variety of social media pages. So for Kingman, it'll be on the public health page. It's on the City of Kingman page. I'm sure it'll be on the fire department's page, possibly the sheriff or the police pages as well. So keep an ear to the ground for where those are. And if you notice someone that might, you know, be in crisis or, you know, lack resources for staying out of the sun in the summer, let them know where those are going to be and their hours of operation if you can.
All right. Thank you very much. Absolutely. And for those of you who can afford it, hey, the great time to go and visit Alaska right now. I'm telling you that right now. Thank you very much. Very glad you're here with us.
Thank you, Roger.
To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.